Hi, I'm Jeremy Goldman, and this is Future Proof. So today, I have a very special treat for you. You are listening to a podcast right now, right? And since they do such a good job with podcast advertising, you're undoubtedly familiar with ZipRecruiter, the marketplace for employees and job seekers. I had a far-ranging conversation with Ian Siegel, the co-founder and CEO of ZipRecruiter, and it was so far-ranging and interesting that we wanted to give it the TLC it deserved and split it up into two parts for your listening pleasure. So some of what you're going to hear today is how Ian got from point A to point Z, the macro value of improving the speed and efficiency of connecting people to the right opportunities, what the future of work will look like, what categories Ian believes will be big over the next few years, the gap between skills employers need and the skills that job candidates actually have, and of course, our usual lightning round. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Ian.
Ian, welcome. And first question, what the heck did I miss?
That was a great description, but to restate it, ZipRecruiter is a marketplace, which means we provide solutions for both employers and for job seekers. For employers, we allow them to both distribute their jobs to over 100 of the best online sites for job seekers so that they can pull candidates from everywhere. And we also use some of the most cutting edge machine learning, deep learning, AI-based matching to put together the right job seekers and employers to maximize outcomes. On the job seeker side, we go around the web and find all the jobs that exist anywhere so that you can come to one place as a job seeker and search all the jobs that are currently open. And again, our awesome matching technology will actually curate just the right jobs for you, jobs for which you are an excellent match and have a high probability of getting called in for an interview.
Yeah, nice. And I think that this is something I've done a little research on, but you might want to share with people. I found it very interesting, kind of the history of how you realized that this is something that you should be spending every waking hour building for people. Because really, the impact that you're having on society by championing a platform like this is incredible. So tell us a little bit about kind of how you got from point A to point Z.
Well, we started the company 8 years ago, and our initial strategy was to find as many places to distribute a job as we possibly could so that employers could find candidates in every nook and cranny of the web. And that strategy worked great. Employers really liked the idea of putting their job everywhere with a single click. But what we discovered about 2 years ago is that we were delivering almost too much of a good thing. So when you deliver 30 candidates to a job, employers say, thank you, that was great. When you deliver 40, then 50, then 100, then 150, employers start to feel overwhelmed. It starts to feel like work. There was a moment in our company's history where when we surveyed our customers, we realized the dissatisfaction with the overwhelming volume of candidates we were delivering was getting higher and higher. And that's when we made an important strategic decision, which was we were going to become obsessed with quality. So in order to achieve that, we made a tens of millions of dollars investment in putting together a team of data scientists, machine learning specialists, AI specialists. And we converted what we did from what I'd say was a traditional job search engine, where you would go and browse through jobs as a job seeker to try and find the jobs that you were interested in. And we moved to what I call a matching paradigm. And we use some of the most cutting edge techniques that really only could exist over the last couple of years with where the technology has evolved in order to do that matching. And to be clear, these kind of techniques, they're starting to pervade all aspects of your experience on the web. So when you go to YouTube and you look at that right rail of suggested videos, that's the same technique that we're using to pick jobs for you. When you go to Netflix, and every one of us has a custom display of content, that's the same kind of matching techniques that we're using. So we're increasingly entering a world of specialized customization for an individual, and it works just as well as jobs as it does for all those other sites I just mentioned.
I love it. And obviously, there's a little bit more of a societal impact that arguably a positive impact by helping me figure out, you know, what job I should take next, as opposed to which Reese Witherspoon movie I should watch next. But that's a whole nother story, which we should get into. I actually want to ask you, we have a little bit of a lightning round of irreverent, totally off topic things that we tend to do at the start. So if you're ready, I can fire away with our lightning round. You ready?
Wait. Okay, now I'm ready. Let's do it. Lightning round. Let's go.
All right, cool. Strangest thing about you, first thing that pops into your head.
I am an accomplished juggler. I'm so good, I actually performed in a 100-man circus when I was in college.
That is insane. Okay, wow. Well, that actually probably comes in very handy metaphorically as an entrepreneur.
Yeah, I think you could draw some interesting metaphors with it. Yep.
That's awesome. Favorite thing about Los Angeles?
Ooh, the beach. I mean, if you live on the west side of LA, your quality of life is extraordinary. There's only two climates in the world that are what we have here, which is LA and Greece.
You know, as a New Yorker, yeah, it's funny. It's like the beach. I'm like, yeah, I can kind of get there if I want to deal with the traffic. But yeah, it is definitely better out west. But actually, as a New Yorker, another thing I got to ask you, least favorite thing about Los Angeles.
Well, it's going to come as a surprise to no one, but the traffic. I mean, the great thing about living on the west side is you have everything you need right around you. And the fortunate thing about living on the west side is you have everything you need right around you, because frankly, getting anywhere else is a drag.
Yeah, no, definitely true. Okay, two more questions. When we meet up in New York, I got to know this. What's your drink of choice?
Ooh, vodka and soda with a lime. I love it.
Oh, cool. Locale also. Good call. Company that you admire for any particular reason. It can be any reason. What's a company that you admire?
You know, without speaking to their business practices and just speaking to their product, I think one of the greatest executed products I've seen over the last 10 years is Uber. And there's a really specific reason why. I love the idea of a car coming when you call it. But what's more impressive to me is the data visualization they do in the app of the car coming towards you. When you think about how many rides get delivered every year through that service, how many customer support calls did they stave off by just showing you a little car driving towards you? It is a brilliant example of what I call data visualization. And it's something that's challenging for a lot of us in tech to accomplish, which is showing users that our product is working while you are waiting for it to work.
Yeah, and I think sometimes you're right. Innovating around the edges is very beneficial, like you were just talking about. I mean, you're doing something that technically people have done for a while, which is send people candidates digitally. But if you're sending them a higher quality or the right people and getting those listings in front of the right people, then all of a sudden companies hire better. In theory, they're going to be more productive, and you know, you're building a better society and a better economy in general. I don't know if you ever think kind of like that from a macro standpoint about the end value to society about what you're doing as a for-profit company. But I mean, when you put it that way, it seems that it must be kind of pretty rewarding as well.
I mean, ZipRecruiter is the greatest company I've ever worked for, and the reason why is, yeah, we build awesome technology, and I can speak to the way that technology is actively improving society and really removing stress and distress from both the employers who are hiring and from the job seekers who are seeking. But the really rewarding part is when everything works the way it's supposed to, when you listen to the actual human beings who are using our service, we are transforming lives. Whether it's people coming out of the military or single mothers or people who are on their fifth job and moving forward in their career, the speed and efficiency with which we are able to connect them to the right opportunities. And I think most importantly, the thing job seekers in particular hated the most about searching for work is they would apply to a lot of companies and hear nothing back. They call it the black hole. And on ZipRecruiter, because of the matching we do, the jobs we are putting in front of you are the jobs for which you have the highest probability of engagement from the employer. So we are removing a lot of the silence that job seekers had become used to when they were searching for work. Nobody likes to get rejected. Nobody likes that feeling. And on ZipRecruiter, you always hear something back.
Yeah, no, I think that that's, it, like you said, innovating around the edges, that's a, it's a really smart approach, because it's just you're solving for pain points that are actually out there in the marketplace, as opposed to just doing something just because it seems cool, you know? So, I mean, a lot of respect for that. Well, let me ask you one thing that I wonder, I mean, obviously with the topic of future-proofing, a lot of what we talk about is predicting the future and figuring out where things are going to go. So are there any kind of broad predictions or just general things that you've noticed about the future of work, kind of what industries are hiring, or are there particular titles that you're seeing that are cropping up? Obviously not, and this is not an endorsement of any industry or job title, but anything that if I'm, let's say, earlier on in my career and I need to be thinking about where I can get a role in the future that can keep me and my family secure, where should I be looking? Where are some of the things that, what are some of the things you've noticed?
Well, I think it's no secret that there is a wave of technological innovation hitting society right now that is so transformative. People are having a hard time predicting exactly the magnitude of the impact it's going to have on the job market. But almost universally, they agree that the impact is at the very smallest going to be big. And I think the jobs that are definitely going to be around over the next 10, 20, and 50 years are going to be jobs in STEM, jobs in technology, jobs in robotics, jobs in data science. These are the fastest growing job categories that we have on our site. They say skate to where the puck is going. That's where the puck is going right now. One of the things that is true about our society is we're often really good at predicting what jobs technology will eliminate, but we tend to be not as good at predicting what jobs technology will create. And there's a couple of really good examples of that, which is, you know, you look at the App Store. When Apple deployed the first App Store, it was about 10 years ago. No one in the entire United States was making their living by building apps. Today, there's over 300,000 people who make their full-time living doing nothing but building apps, and it's a $30 billion a year economy. So that's an example where, like, in a very, like, in less than a decade, we suddenly have a massive new category that has emerged. And you can look around at a couple of technologies in particular that are probably going to become omnipresent with a very, very rapid impact on society. And that's things like drones and 3D printers, which are both rapidly emerging job categories.
Oh, that's actually really funny. I gotta ask you this. So my wife actually has an irrational fear of 3D printers and doesn't even understand how they operate. So I think that I'm gonna have to make her listen to this episode just to hear it and cringe. But yeah, you're right though. There are a lot of new technologies that are popping up, and in some ways, I think it's scary for people because you know you have a lot of people who see these job listings for things that they're maybe intrigued by, but they don't necessarily have the education for. And not that it's necessarily the thing that you have to worry about in your day-to-day, but how much do you think about kind of the gap between what people are learning and what types of jobs are out there and going to be available for them in the, you know, the future of work?
Well, I mean, a gap between the skills of the currently seeking work population and the desire of the employers is not a future problem. It is a today problem. 90% of the employers on ZipRecruiter say their biggest challenge is finding employees with candidates with the right skills for the jobs that they're posting. One of the things that we're tracking really closely here at Zip is this notion of what we're calling new collar jobs. So fundamentally, a lot of jobs come down to a single skill, either a single license, a single certification, or a single ability. And increasingly, employers are reducing the requirements for their roles because they tend to say things like, I need someone with a college degree. I need somebody with 3 to 5 years of experience. I need someone who's proficient in these 5 or 6 different softwares. And the reality is, you don't actually need somebody who has that combination of assets in their resume. What you really need is somebody who knows how to use AutoCAD. What you really need is somebody who knows how to write SQL so that they can do data science for you. And what we're emerging into, it's really interesting, is employers are getting better and better at identifying the key skill that determines success in a role. And that's why we're calling them new collar jobs, because these are skills that you can learn in a 6-week boot camp. These are skills that you can learn in a trade school. And I suspect that more and more we're going to see society moving in this direction.
You know, so one thing I think also that's interesting is I have a particular bias towards certain types of roles and technologies that I'm hoping are going to take over simply because I'm a fan of them in some way, shape, or form. Augmented reality is a perfect example of one like that. And I'm wondering, especially as you're building your platform, but essentially as somebody whose job it is to try to, in some ways, predict the future so that you can have a platform that is as helpful to as many people as possible, how do you, as an entrepreneur and CEO, how do you correct and control for your own biases in order to better predict the future, in order to be basically a better leader for the company?
I mean, the challenge in the job category is it's always changing. You know, I fantasize about running a payroll company. It seems really straightforward. And the interesting thing is we have to be futurists here. We have to be looking at where the industry is going because, you know, employers come to our site and they post roles for often for which no candidate exists. And, you know, there's a really glaring example of this, which is the most common job posted in America is what? It's driver. Truck driver, Uber driver, Grubhub driver. There are more driving jobs online right now than there are any other job type. Do you know how many job seekers go to a job site and search for driver jobs? Almost zero. It is not a job that most people think of when they are looking for work. There is this split between what the market is demanding, what our employers who are paying us money to provide candidates desire, and what the job-seeking population wants to do for work. And that's a really obvious example of it. But when you talk about things like augmented reality, when you talk about things like drone operator, when you talk about things like cannabis horticulturalist, there actually aren't people who have years of experience or practice in dealing with these emerging industries. And so we are thoughtful about what our role is in educating the population. And we have an economist. We put out a lot of content about what the emerging job categories are. And we try to steer people towards the opportunities that are adjacent to whatever their skills are so that potentially what they can do is pick up one or two more skills and then find themselves with a bevy of opportunities.
You know, I love that. Great usage of the word bevy, by the way. I actually, going back a second, I remember, I think there was one listing, I think it was like 2010 or something like that, where they were asking for 10 years of social media experience. And I remember seeing that and thinking, well, was social media really a term per se in the year 2000, you know? So I think that sometimes you're right. It's you kind of have to think about whether or not people can do the job as opposed to just almost cutting and pasting from a previous listing and changing a word or two and calling it a day.
So I kind of figured that was a perfect spot to leave the first part of our conversation. So thanks again, Ian. And as promised, we're going to share part two with you soon, which I think I enjoyed even more, to tell you the truth. So keep an eye out. And as always, review us, rate us, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, tell everyone you know, and thanks in advance. And signing off, I'm Jeremy Goldman, and you've been listening to Future Proof.